Blog Talk Radio.
Well, people, after a long, long time away, all I can say is we're back.
Never mentions the word addiction in certain companies. Yes, she tells you she's an orphan after you meet her family. A lock of hair in her pocket. She wears a cross around her neck. Yes, the hair is from a little boy, and the cross is someone she has not met.
Welcome back to the first edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth for 2018. Now, we've been away for quite a while, and so much has gone on in the world and in our lives and everything, but now we are back. Now, as you know, those of you who have dealt with my shows in the past, you know pretty much nothing is off limits. If you have children, all I can say is that I will warn you, my language at times can get a bit colorful, especially when I'm passionate about something. But let's go back to what has been going on in the world lately. NBA Finals. I'm watching it as we speak. Golden State seriously has to lose tonight because I'm telling you now, I'm not a Warriors fan. I dislike the Warriors with a passion. Most people are, you know what, riding Steph Curry. It's totally unnecessary. Excuse me. I'm not a fan of LeBron either. I mean, this is like, I think, the third year in a row that we're doing this. Fourth year in a row that this is the finals. And to be honest, it's like, it's so played out. I get that they beat all these other teams to get where they are. More power to them. But it's almost as though it's like Golden State, Steph Curry, and then LeBron's team. There doesn't seem to be any, how should we put it? There doesn't seem to be any acknowledgement of any other players unless somebody screws up like somebody did earlier in one of the other games of this, you know, the finals. But it also brings me to the point of that I'm a huge Bucks fan. Anybody who knows me knows that if the Milwaukee Bucks are playing, you shut the F up. You keep your mouth quiet. I don't want to be no one to call me on the phone unless World War III is about to happen. And if World War III is about to happen, unless there's going to be a direct strike on my house, don't bother contacting me. The Bucks, to me, are a phenomenal team. They're still growing. They're still a young team. We've got some really good players and who are coming into their own and everything. And, you know, they're getting there. They're slowly, but surely getting there. We've got a new arena being built downtown, which is like 90% complete. The outside looks amazing. In fact, as we go past it, it looks so beautiful to me. It's such a beautiful addition to the city, and it's so modern. The fact is the Bradley Center has run its course. It was going to cost more money to do the repairs and everything to bring it up to NBA standards than it was worth investing. The money was better invested in a new arena, which in itself brought hundreds of new jobs to the area, which boosted the economy slightly in Milwaukee, which is a good thing. Now, once the Bradley Center gets torn down, we will all be there that day, I can tell you right now, especially former employees. You know you former employees are going to be there. When they tear that down, we're going to have a real modern-looking area that hopefully will stand the test of time for at least my lifetime. You know, and we've got the entertainment district, which is now being worked on. We have new apartments being built. We have hotels being built. We have the streetcar going on, which is a whole nother host of controversy in the system. But the Bucks are trying their best to, you know, put a positive influence back into Milwaukee and to make it into a city of the future as opposed to a city of the past. The trouble is that just recently, earlier this year, the whole image of especially the police department in the area got tarnished yet again because of something they did to one of the Bucks rookies, Sterling Brown. Now, basically what happened is that anybody who knows Milwaukee knows that there is a 24-hour Walgreens on 27th and National. I don't care who you are. Everybody knows that that Walgreens is a 24/7 one. And it's kind of in the central location of everywhere. It's basically the middle point of the north side and the south side. So it stays open as a 24-hour pharmacy and all this lot. So a lot of people go there regardless. And, I'm tired. Forgive me. What basically happened back in March is Sterling Brown was in his car, pulled into the parking lot.
January.
I thought it was March.
No, January.
Okay. Apparently it was January. I'm going to have to look this up now because this is going to bug me. He pulled into the parking lot, and he did park incorrectly. He parked over two parking spaces, and the two parking spaces were disabled ones. Now, that warrants a ticket, to be perfectly honest. Anybody who's anybody knows, you park in a disabled parking space, you'll get, I think the ticket originally for that violation is like $100 or something. Now, add on to that, if you're parked, you know, in two parking spaces, they're going to whop up that ticket somewhat. Now, what basically happened is that he came out of Walgreens, saw a police officer by his car, and he did politely, the video is out there, he did politely say what seems to be the problem. Right away, and I mean right away, the police officer started getting a little bit hostile. Instead of saying, sir, you're parked over two disabled parking spaces, I'm going to have to ticket your car. They went into a whole spill, you know, about who are you, where's your ID, take your hands out of your pockets, and really went off on him to the point where the police officer called for backup and five other squad cars pulled up into the Walgreens parking lot to deal with somebody who was illegally parked. On top of that, you know, he was very polite. He stood there answering the questions. Now, he is obviously an educated guy because he's, you know, he's mentioned in the past, there's been some interviews prior to this where he was speaking about the treatment of black men in this country. And so he is aware of the notorious nature that is out there for black men. And we here in Milwaukee, we've had our share of bad incidents with police shooting and killing. Actually, it was three people, over recent years. One was a man who was homeless and had some mental illness. He got killed downtown. Then we had one who was shot by a black police officer, which actually started the riots here in Milwaukee. And then we had another one who was shot and killed at Mayfair Mall in the parking lot. So we've had our fair share of cop-involved incidents. And Sterling Brown was obviously wise to this and being a black man, and most black men can attest, obviously, I'm a short, fat, white woman. I can't tell you that I'm scared of the police because I have no reason to be. My skin color and my sex, the fact that I'm female, means that I'm one of the safe people, which in itself brings up a whole new thing. But I'm pretty sure that the black men who I know have similar fears when they are pulled over. We were pulled over today. That's another story. But anywho, he was standing there very politely answering questions, and one of the officers grabbed his wrist. He had his hand in his pocket, told him to get his hands out of his pocket. From their standpoint, I'm pretty sure they thought that he didn't move his hands quick enough. So he pulled out his hand, trying to pull out his hand, and he said, I'm holding on to stuff in my pocket, which turned out to be his wallet and his cell phone. And the cop basically bum rushed him, along with other cops who held him on the floor, and then you could hear them clearly say, tase him, tase him, tase him, or taser, taser, taser. It was one of the two. And the guy was tasered. Five freaking cop cars totaling 10 police officers were involved in this altercation. The guy, yes, he shouldn't have parked where he was. He admitted he shouldn't have parked where he was, but he thought he could quickly park, run, and do what he needed to do and be out. That didn't happen. But the police department went way over the top yet again in how they handled this situation. Now, what has screwed things up even more for them is that The body cams that they were wearing picked up, obviously, all of the conversations and everything. And you can hear them saying, this is going to, when they realized who it was and that it was a Milwaukee Bucks player, you could hear the police officer say, we are going to have a media problem with this. He's a Bucks player. He's Sterling Brown. Now, when he identified who he was earlier when they were trying to arrest him, they were like, oh, yeah, you're Sterling Brown, like, you know, until they got his ID and everything. And then they realized that they had created a big, big, big problem. And for me, as, you know, seeing this unfold, it's a very hard thing to see. And I understand why the police in their mind feel they are justified in this. They, you know, there's this image that goes around that says, you know, the big scary black man. A lot of people are raised, I luckily am not one of them, to, you know, walk across, you know, cross the street and not just cross the street, but you live in fear of the black guy. I wasn't raised that way. If you people knew where I came from in England, I came from a little shipping area, and it was like the United Nations. Everybody and everyone was there. But over here, and for me, the seeing how different races are treated was so eye-opening and shocking. But over here, it's a whole different thing. And I never used to have fear of for my friends and my family and everything. But now, seeing what's been going on over the years and seeing the violence against, you know, young black men, especially by the police department, it actually scares me for my family. It scares me for my friends. I have some amazing, amazing friends who, you know, when they tell me, like, I have one good friend, he works second shift. When he drives home, I don't tell him every day that I'm scared, but there are times when I'll message him and I'll say, you know, get home safely. Because it seems like the cops really don't care, and it's sad. It really is sad. Now, in regards to going back to the whole Sterling Brown story, part of what is scary in regards to this is that, you know, you take one little incident and it gets magnified. And the police have a bad enough reputation as it is. Without a handful of, you know, a few cops making it worse, they're laughing on the body cam. You know, it's not a laughing matter. It's a serious matter. And all of it should have been taken, you know, more seriously instead of the cops laughing at it. But, you know, Sterling Brown has come out. He has said his piece. He's said what has happened. The Bucks are being great. The Bucks are standing behind him. They've seen the video. They've seen what went on. They're standing behind him and showing such support and solidarity. It is great to see. And to me, that's how it should be. As a team, you back each other up. I'm sure if they had any issues with him, he would have been suspended or released from his contract earlier this year when it happened. But they obviously knew what was going on and, you know, the dealings and everything behind it. So, what the heck? So, yeah, basically, I don't honestly do not know if anybody can hear me because it's not showing me as, oh, there we go. Never mind. That was very bizarre. But you're seeing a lot of things that are going on with the team that are showing so much support and solidarity, and hopefully that will continue. But I am going to take a quick break. We are going to put on another song, and I will be back in a minute.
Bye. goddamn. I know you love to make an entrance. Do you like getting paid or getting paid attention? You mix the wrong guys with the right intentions. In the same bed, but it still feel long distance. You're looking for a little more consistency. But when you stop looking, you gon' find what's meant to be. And honestly, I'm way too done with the hoes. I cut off all my X's for your X and O's. I feel my old flings was just preparing me. When I say I want you, say it back, parakeet. Fly your first class through the air, Airbnb. I'm the best you had, you just be comparing me to me. I'ma add this at you. If I put you on my phone and upload it, it'll get maximum views. I came through in the clutch, more than lipsticks and phones. Wore your fake cologne just to get you alone.
And we are back. So those of you who are listening who actually know me personally know that my family is in town. And it has been, you know, quite a while and everything since I've seen them. It's been 5 years. And they are in town now to be here to celebrate my boy's graduation. Tomorrow, my son will be graduating from South Milwaukee High School. I'm not going to say it's been an easy ride to get here. It has been many, many ups and downs. But he is actually walking the stage tomorrow evening. And you know that this mama here has her waterproof mascara because I'm telling you now, those tears are going to flow because that's my baby right there. That's my baby boy. He is just an amazing, amazing kid, and I am so proud of how far he has come. As I say, it hasn't been without its struggles and without its fights and lots of alcohol, because to be honest, there are times when all you can do is have a drink. But it brings me onto a subject, because for a while, since actually January, he's actually been in a credit recovery school because of bullying. He was part of the football team. He is a wide receiver. And basically what happened was is that he actually got bullied by some of the football team. The more popular ones, the starters and all that lot. And so my son started skipping school. And it wasn't just like 1 or 2 days here. He was missing a lot of days, and we got to the point where graduation probably wasn't going to be a possibility. The school, South Milwaukee, Cudahy, and Elk Creek work with a school that's called Connects, where the kids go in there and it's credit recovery. All the lessons are done on computer, and they work pretty damn hard to get it done. And praise be, he actually did it. We had his confetti ceremony today, which is when they graduate from the program. And everybody stands around him and throws these great big handfuls of confetti at him. And it was wonderful because his grandparents were here to see that. It's to say, it's been 5 years since they've been here, and we had such a wonderful time. So now we're actually planning on the whole graduation party thing. And I have forgotten how extremely stressful throwing a party is. My son, bless his heart, hasn't wanted a birthday party since he turned 13. So it has been 5 years. In fact, it was the last time his grandparents were down. It's been 5 years since I've had to throw a big party. And now we're on the whole graduation party thing. One, the bags of chicken wings that you can buy are pathetic. Okay, I needed to get 10 pounds of chicken wings. Yes, people, you heard me right. 10 pounds of freaking chicken wings. Managed to eventually find them. Then it's everything else that goes with it. And I'm hosting this with his father. And his father is on me every day. What else are we having? What else are we having? And it's like, please. To add insult to injury, I have lost a bag filled with essentials. We bought the paper plates, the napkins, the cutlery, the tablecloths, and the entire freaking bag has gone missing. I kid you not. We don't know where it is. We have stripped the house apart. We've stripped the car apart. We cannot find it anywhere. So now I'm going to have to be running around again to rebuy that stuff unless it shows up. I don't think it's going to show up, but hey, who knows? In fact, I think I might. No, it wasn't there. Never mind. So on top of that, one of my very special and closest friends has been drawing pictures for my son for part of his graduation. Those of you who don't know, Robert is a fan of Dragon Ball Z. I have a friend who is an amazing artist who has been drawing stuff for me and puts up with my nagging. God bless him for that, because I can, like, nag for... I could actually nag for the Olympics. I could get a gold medal in nagging and worrying. As I say, he's done one of the drawings already, and that is, like, got Robert's picture, football photo in, and the invitation for his graduation. And, you know, we were discussing it over the weekend, and he's going to help out with some other drawings that are going to have other photos of Robert put in. So that, to me, is phenomenal. But it's still like, how can you as a person, and this is me, so it is possible, lose a bag filled with party supplies? If it isn't bad enough that all the stores are running out right now of graduation stuff, on top of that, I have to add the fact that I have now lost a bag of graduation supplies. I'm not happy with myself. I can honestly say that. In fact, I'm like sitting here right now as I'm speaking to you guys, looking around my home thinking like, where the hell did I put it? And I have no damn clue whatsoever. So back to the dollar store I will be going. Probably on Saturday, as I'm taking my parents to Southridge, so I'll be able to pick up stuff then. But even still, it's like, Hazel, what are you thinking? Get a grip on yourself. All I can say is I'm really glad that my friend is going to be dropping the pictures off to me, because now in my luck, he would hand me the pictures, I would come home, a freak gust of wind would pull them out of my hand, and I'll be chasing them down the street for like 3 miles. But either way, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be amazing, and I am really, really excited. Because in England, we don't have graduation ceremonies like this. You take your final exams, sometimes in April or May, school's done, bye, thanks very much, there's the door, out you go. You don't have the big graduation thing. But the one thing I will actually share with you was, my final exam was actually my geography exam, and where we had it was in the main hall of our school. For those of you who don't know, I went to the shittiest school in the area, Cunningham High School. It was the worst. Oh, it made some of the schools around here look like top class. I kid you not. But anyway, we had this. Our final exam was a geography exam, and we had it in the main hall. And sitting like 3 rows ahead of me was this kid. I can remember his name. His name was Delwyn Picton. And we're sat there, and the nastiest smell of farts was spreading around this hall. And it was the smell that makes you cough. You know, you could feel your eyes water, your nose start to run, that tickle in your throat. That was all coming. So we were allowed, every student was actually allowed a 5-minute bathroom break, because it was a 4-hour exam. So Delwyn put his hand up, said he needed a bathroom break, and, you know, went and did his thing. He came back, and as he walked down the hallway, I could hear people behind me giggling as he's walking past, and then he got to me, and as he walked past, he had his ass hanging out of his pants, and he had tissue out of his butt crack, like this long stream of tissue. And as he's doing it, he's jiggling his butt as he's walking down. He's jiggling and jiggling and jiggling as he walked down. And he then sat in his chair, and he keeps jiggling his butt so this tissue paper is wiggly. Now, you knew damn well that he knew what he was doing. So when it got to 3 hours into the exam, if you had completed, you were allowed to leave. So he was, you know, 3 hours into it, and I'm, like, going over, my exam paper, and I could see him raise his hand, and he's waving his paper and everything, and he does that, and the teacher comes over, takes his paper, and says, okay, you know, clear your desk, and you can leave. So he gets up, he clears his desk, he walks past everybody, and I kid you not, he stands at the entrance to the room and he goes, people, I have one thing to say. He turns around and farts the loudest fart you have ever heard in your entire life. And I can't even tell you, the whole hall erupted. The teacher, oh my God, the teacher was like, Dylan, you need to leave, you need to leave. And that was my last exam at my school, and that was the last time I set foot in that school. I personally was not a fan of being at that school to begin with. I, same as my son, I got bullied a lot in school, and it wasn't fun. But it was one of those things where I wish that we did have ceremonies like graduation time, where you could go across the stage and you could have your name called and recognized, because it seems so anticlimactic, you know, just that end time and everything. But okay, we're going to play another song, and then I'm going to come back and we are going to have some hilarious Amazon reviews that will make everybody giggle. It'll probably make me laugh to the point that I can't breathe as well. But this is going to be a long song while I sort them out. So here we go. And we are back. So I thought, you know, we've had spoke about some serious things. So I thought, you know what we'll do now is we'll go through two or three funny stories. And I apologize because when I read these, I cannot stop laughing myself. So we're going to do a couple that are people may have heard before. But there's two of them are actually hair removal reviews that were actually posted on Amazon. And one is a story of a man who buys a taser for his wife. And these are true stories. So we'll start with Veet Hair Removal Gel Review that was posted on Amazon. And here we go. Now, I'm going to read it as it's written. And I apologize if I start laughing. I just can't help myself. Okay. After having been told my danglers looked like an elderly Rastafarian, I decided to take the plunge and buy some of this Veet Hair Removal Gel, as previous shaving attempts had only been mildly successful, and I nearly put my back out trying to reach the more difficult bits. Being a bit of a romantic, I thought I would do the deed on the missus' birthday as a bit of a treat. I ordered it well in advance, and working in the North Sea, I considered myself a bit above some of the characters writing previous reviews and wrote them off as soft office types. Oh, my fellow sufferers, how wrong I was. I waited until the other half was tucked up in bed, and after giving some vague hints about a surprise, I went to the bathroom. Initially, all went well, and I applied the gel and stood waiting for something to happen. I didn't have to wait long. At first, there was a gentle warmth, which in a matter of seconds was replaced by an intense burning and a feeling I can only describe as being given a barbed wire wedgie by two people intent on hitting the ceiling with my head. I'm sorry because I'm going to start laughing. Religion hadn't featured much in my life up until that night, but I suddenly became willing to convert to any religion to stop the violent burning around the turd tunnel and what seemed like the destruction of the meat into veg. Struggling not to bite off through my bottom lip, I tried to wash off the gel in the sink and only succeeded in blocking the plug hole with a mat of hair. Through the haze of tears, I struggled out of the bathroom and across the hall into the kitchen. By this time, walking was not really possible, and I crawled the final yard to the fridge in hope of some form of cold relief. I yanked the freezer drawer out and found a tub of ice cream, tore the lid, and positioned it under myself. The relief was fantastic, but only temporarily, as it melted fairly quickly, and a firing stabbing soon returned. Due to the shape of the ice cream tub, I hadn't managed to get the starfish any treatment, and I groped around in the drawer until I found something else, as I was sure my fish was going to fail me fairly soon. I grabbed the bag, and what I later found out was to be a bag of frozen Brussels sprouts, and tore it open, trying to be as quiet as I did. I took a handful of and tried in vain to clench some between the cheeks of my arse. This was not doing the trick, as the gel had found its way up the Charlie Channel, and it felt like the space shuttle was running its engines behind me. This was probably and hopefully the only time in my life I was going to wish there was a gay stove in the kitchen, which should give you some idea of the depths I was willing to sink to in order to ease the pain. The only solution my pain craved mind could come up with was to gently ease one of the sprouts where no veg had gone before. Unfortunately, alerted by the strange grunt coming from the kitchen, the wife chose her moment to come investigate and was greeted by the sight. Arms up in the air, shopping ice cream, dripping down my belly, pushing the sprout up my ass. Oh, that feels good. Understandably, the shock to her, she let out a scream, and as I had heard her come in, it caused an involuntary spasm of shock in myself, which resulted from being ejected at quite some speed in her direction. I can understand that Sprout farting against your leg in the kitchen probably wasn't the special surprise she was expecting, and having to explain to the kids the next day what the strange hollow in the ice cream was did improve my status. So to sum it up, Veet removes hair, dignity, and self-respect. The truth of that is that stuff does burn, and I could personally verify that because in an attempt to make myself more desirable to the man in my life, I actually did something similar, and the person's right. It's a bad, bad thing to do. It burns when you put it in your nether areas. So, oh, my thoughts are with that poor guy and the Brussels sprouts that were rejected from his ass. So, this next one is a review for wax strips. And it's the Nair wax strips. So, here we go. As I say, I'm reading it as the person has wrote it. It says, my night began as any other normal weekday night. I came home from work, fixed dinner for my son, and we played a while. I then had the thought that would ring painfully in my mind for the next couple of hours. Maybe I should use that wax in the medicine cabinet. I set my son up with a video and head to the site of my demise, I mean the bathroom. It was one of those cold wax kits, no melting, a hot clump. You just rub clear strips on your hand, peel them apart, press them on your leg or wherever you want them, and ignore the frantically rising crescendo of string instruments in the background. No mess, no fuss, how hard could this be? I mean, I'm not the girliest of girls, but I'm mechanically inclined, so I think I could figure how this works, you would think. So I pull one of the strips out. It's two strips facing each other, stuck together. I'm supposed to rub them in my hand to warm and soften the wax. I go on better. I pull out a hairdryer and heat that SOB to 10,000 degrees. Cold wax my ass. I lay the strip across my thigh. I hold it at the skin and pull. So it wasn't the best feeling in the world, but it wasn't bad. I can do this, I thought. Hair removal no longer lose me. I'm She-Ra, fighter of all wayward body hair and smooth skin. With my next wax strip, I moved north. After checking on my child and verifying he fact was becoming one with the bear and learning all about smells, I sneak into the bathroom for the ultimate hair fighting championship. I drop my panties, place one foot on the toilet. Using the same procedure, I then apply the wax strip across the right side of my bikini line, covering the right half of my vagina and stretching it up into the inside of my right butt cheek. I inhale deeply, I brace myself, rip. I am blind from the pain. Vision starts to return, and oh crap, I've only managed to pull off half an inch of the strip. Another deep breath and rip. As I come back to normal again, I want to see my trophy, my wax-covered pelt that caused so much agony. I hold the wax strip like an Olympic gold medalist, but why is there no hair on it? Why is most of the wax gone? Where could the wax go? I slowly use my head down with my foot perched on the toilet. I see hair, the hair that should be on the strip. I touch it and I'm feeling the wax. I look to the ceiling and quietly shout no as I've realized I've begun my own personal version of the tar baby. I peel my fingers off the softest, most sensitive part of my body that is now covered in cold wax and matted hair and make the next big mistake. Up until this point, you'll have to remember that my foot is on the toilet, so now I need to move to do something. So I put my foot down on the floor, and then I hear the slamming of the cell door. Vagina, sealed shut. Butthole, sealed shut. A little voice in my head says, I hope you don't have to potty anytime soon. Your head just might pop off. I began to walk around the bathroom, desperately trying to figure out what I should do next. Hot water melts wax. I run the hottest water I can stand and get in. The max should well melt and I can gently wipe it off. Wrong, I get in the tub. The water is slightly hotter than I used to. And I sit. Now, the only thing worse than having your goodies glued together is that having them glued together and then glued to the bottom of the tub. in scalded hot water, which by now does not melt the cold wax, so now I'm stuck in the tub. I called my friend because she once dropped out of beauty school, so I'm sure she has some secret knowledge on the tricks to get the wax off. It's never a good conversation to start with. As you said, so my nether regions are stuck to the tub. She doesn't have a trick, but she does her best to stop laughing. She wants to know exactly where the wax is on the ass. Are we talking cheek or hole here, she asks. She's even trying to hide her giggles now. I give her the rundown the entire night, and she tells me to call the number on the side of the box. You know, if we were working the helpline at Waxco and somebody called with the internal wax filter, we'd have to put them on hold, record the conversation for everyone you know, and you're going to end up on a radio show on the internet if you tell the truth. While we go through various solutions, I have to resort to scraping the wax off with a razor. Boy, nothing feels better than your goodies covered in wax, sticking them to the tub in super hot water, and then dry shaving the wax off. In the middle of the conversation, I find the little, beautiful saving grace that is the lotion provided with the wax to remove the excess. I start rub some in and start screaming, "It works, it's working." I successfully remove the wax and notice to my dismay that the hair is still there. So I shaved the damn stuff off. Hell, I was numb at that point. I put the box of wax back in the medicine cabinet, never knowing when a moustache might come in. I can honestly say I've done something very similar, but it was with nipple tassels, and that's going to be a story for a whole nother night. But yeah, cold wax is the worst, absolutely the worst thing, you know, to use. But, okay, we're on to a very funny taser story. This one has me in hysterics each time, so I will apologize because I know I'm going to start laughing. And before I carry on, if you've got any funny reviews that you've seen, just send them to me, or any funny stories that, or anything that you want us to talk about, just get a hold of me on Facebook, and I will do my best. So this one is called A Very Funny Taser Story. It goes like this. Last weekend, I spied something at Larry's Pistol and Porn that tickled my fancy. I bought something really cool for my wife. The occasion was our 22nd anniversary, and I was looking for something sweet for my girl. What I came across was a 100,000-volt pocket purse-sized taser gun with a clip. For those of you who are not familiar with this, it's a less-than-lethal stun gun with two metal prongs assigned to incapacitate and assail it with a shock of high voltage. Low amperage electricity while you flee safely. The effects are supposed to be short-lived and with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, but allowing you adequate time to retreat to safety. You simply jab the prongs into your assailant, push the button, and it will render them a slobbering, goggled-eyed, muscle-twitching, wimping pencil-neck geek. If you've never seen one of those things in action, you're truly missing out, and they are way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device and brought it home. I loaded two AAA batteries into the thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was so disappointed. Upon reading the directions, I found much to my dismay that this particular model would not create an arc between the prongs. I was so disappointed. I do love fire for effect. I learned that, however, if you push the button against a metal surface, you get the blue arc darting back and forth. This I did, and it was so much fun. I'm easily amused, just for your information, but I've yet to explain to my wife what the burn spot is on our microwave. Okay, so I'm home alone with this new toy, thinking to myself, it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries. There I sat in my recliner with my cat looking on intently, reading the directions and thinking that I really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood target. I must admit, the thought of zapping the cat for a fraction of a second, I thought better of it. She is a sweet kitty after all, but if I was going to give this to my wife to protect her, I wanted to make sure that it would work. So there I sat in a pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose, directions in one hand, taser in the other. The directions said 1 second burst would shock and disorientate your assailant, and a 2 second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and a loss of bodily control. A 3 second burst would make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. All this while, I'm looking at this little device about 6 inches long and thinking to myself, no way. What happened next is beyond description, but I'll do my best. I'm sitting there alone, great, the cat looking at me with her head cocked to one side as if to say, don't do it, reasoning that a one-second burst from such a tiny old thing couldn't hurt all that bad. I decided to give myself a one-second burst just for the hell of it. I touched the prongs to my naked thigh, pushed the button, and holy shit. I'm pretty sure Jesse Ventura ran in through the front door, picked me up out the recliner, and body slammed me on the carpet over and over. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in the fetal position, nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, soaking wet with my left arm tucked under my body in the oddest position, the cat standing over me making meowing noises like I never heard before, licking my face, undoubtedly thinking, do it again, do it again. No, if you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution, there is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. You're not going to let go of that thing and still dislodge from your head by a violent thrashing around on the floor. Son of a bitch, that hurt. A minute or so later, I collected my wit, sat up and surveyed the landscape. My reading glasses were on the mantle over the fireplace. My triceps, my thigh, and both titties were twitching. My face felt like it had been shot up with Novocaine. And my bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. By the way, if anybody has seen my testicles, I think they ran away. I'm offering a reward. They're round, kind of hairy, and handsome. And if I must say to myself, I miss them. So please send them and get back. Please never touch a taser gun again. I seriously, that always makes me laugh so, so hard. But as I say, we are coming to the end of the show. We're going to play one song to hit, end us out. But we will be back next Wednesday. AJ will be here tomorrow night around after graduation, if he remembers and if he can, to do a show. Then I do believe we have a show on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, we have a show on Sunday as well. So there'll be lots of fun things going on. So I'm going to play a song to play us out, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Goddamn, I know you love to make an entrance.